Beloved radio friends, we welcome you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We have been considering the subject concerning the rapture of the saints. So far, we have considered it from an individual viewpoint. Now we would like to approach the study of the rapture of the saints from another standpoint. The church, that which God has established of a corporate character. Our scripture portion that we would take is from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. Now this is a scripture that relates not to an individual, but to all believers who are in that body of Christ, which is the church. Every believer in the Lord Jesus should recognize that beyond our individual privileges and responsibilities, there is the fact that each one of us, we form a part of a corporate body which has been established by the Lord himself with privileges and with duties in that corporate capacity. The epistle from which we have taken our scripture in the Ephesians letter dwells upon this great truth and has much to say about the church. Those who are the called out ones, called out from the world between the day of Pentecost and the rapture of the saints. For the rapture of the saints will terminate the present church period of time. You will find the church spoken of in the book of Ephesians under the figure of a temple and a building fitly framed together, and of a body which is called the body of Christ, and also pictured as a bride in the scripture that we have read from chapter 5. It is very clearly indicated in these scriptures that each believer is considered a little part of a great whole. That whole being not a mere collection of units or an organization, but rather an organism. 'Tis not a mere structural unity, but an organic unity. Just as the same lifeblood, now listen to this carefully, just as the same lifeblood flows through every part of the human body in nature, and the head of the body is the seat of all direction and control, so the body of Christ, which is the church, is fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth. My beloved, this body is one, an organism. You cannot split it. You cannot break it. It's a unity, a unit. Finally, the church is to be presented by Christ himself as a bride. A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now let me quote the wonderful truth regarding that coming wedding, the marriage of the Lamb in Revelation 19. John writes to say, I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousnesses of the saints. And he said unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Unquote. Now, beloved, listen carefully. This glorious wedding of Christ and his church will take place in heaven. And it takes place, if you note the reading of Revelation 19, it takes place before the Lord leaves the heavens above to descend visibly with all of his saints and holy angels to take the kingdom of the world for himself, as well as to pour out his final vengeance upon the earth below. Read Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 21. Now listen to this carefully. when the Lord presents His bride to Himself, it is to be a glorious church. It is to be whole. It is to be complete. It is to be without blemish. It will have no spot. It will have no defect of any sort. It will have no wrinkle. It will have not a sign of age or any failure or any such thing. Very strong is the language, because it makes impossible, now this I would emphasize, that the church as a whole will be married to Christ. And it makes impossible the suggestion that only selected believers from the many who compose the church will be raptured by the Lord into His presence when He comes. May I ask the question, when the Lord presents the church to Himself in that coming day of glory, will it be a mutilated, fragmentary church? Absolutely not. Never, no, never. Every believer of this church, from Pentecost to the rapture, will certainly be gathered to meet the Lord in the air when He fulfills this blessed promise to come for His blood-bought bride, His church. Oh, my beloved, what a joy to realize the completeness. Please may I state, the Lord Jesus is coming for every believer. Not one will be missing at that great event of the rapture. The dead in Christ will rise from the grave. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. And what joy to recognize the impossibility of the Lord coming for only a partial bride. He'll claim the whole bride for Himself. Let me quote His words again. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word, and that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. May we also affirm that our blessed Lord, by the rapture, will bear away from this earth His true bride, the church, before that period of the great tribulation, that fearful day of trial that is to come upon all the earth. Read Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. The promise that He will keep the bride out of the world, out of the trial that is to come upon all the earth. Read 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10, how the Thessalonians were brought to God, and they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, even Jesus, our deliverer from the coming wrath. Now, if the church is the bride of Christ, is the church to be made the object of the wrath of God and of the wrath of the Lamb on the very eve of her wedding? God forbid that any would ever suggest the object of Christ's tender love, His church, His bride, should be subjected to such a thrashing on the eve of a wedding day. Nay, we fully believe the statement that Christ loved the church, and in His love, though there is no qualification imposed for her worthiness to be loved, yet in His love, He cherishes it. He will take it to be with Himself. And at that blessed rapture, 'twill be the moment when from the earth, sleeping saints of the church age, together with the living saints at that moment, who together comprise the bride, they shall be taken home to glory and to meet the Lord in the air. My beloved, may I say faithfully, my fellow believer, like the old Negro spiritual once wrote, He'll not live in glory and leave me behind. What a joy to know He'll never leave one of His blood-bought children behind. Now, may I say very frankly, none of us are worthy of it. And even the most faithful believer, with even the most faithless believer, will only be there because of His grace and of His matchless love. He is coming as the bridegroom, coming to unfold at last the great secret of His purpose, mystery of ages past, and the bride, to her is granted in His beauty then to shine, as in rapture she exclaimeth, I am His, and He is mine. Oh, what joy that marriage union, mystery of love divine, sweet to sing in all its fullness, I am His, and He is mine. But oh, my beloved listener, my beloved friend, will you be there? Are you sure of being gathered together with the saints in that bright glory? Blessed and happy are they which are called unto the marriage of the Lamb. For if you miss the rapture, you will miss the marriage. The parable of our Lord in 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel comes to mind, in which we read the midnight cry, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and then the door was shut. After it came the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said, Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 25. My beloved friend, sounding clearly today is the midnight cry. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Are you ready? Is Christ your Savior? Has His blood washed your sins away? Have you placed your faith in the finished work of His cross? Make the Savior yours now. Be ready for that blessed soon coming event, the rapture of the saints. And then you too will be in that blessed company, the church, which is the blood-bought and soon to be glorified bride of the Christ of God forever in glory. Oh, beloved and blessed Father, we lift our hearts to Thee in earnest supplication. First, we give Thee thanks for the blessed hope of this rapturous event, the coming of the Lord for His saints and for His bride. But we lift our petition to Thee on the behalf of our friends who are not ready for the coming of the Lord. Said the Lord Jesus, Watch therefore, be ye also ready, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And, O Father, we pray that by the Spirit you'll thus wake souls and bring them to Christ. Amen.